As part of my series on What is Worship, a few weeks ago, I started a series within a series called Seeking God Through the Psalms. This is part three of Seeking God Through the Psalms. Earlier, I made the case that from birth till death and endless ages that follow, our most fundamental and meaningful relationship is with the living God. Only God loved us before the creation of the world. Only God knit us together in our mother's womb and created us for fellowship with Him. We find our rest in God. We also find our security in God. We find our love in God. We find our joy in God. We find our delight, our satisfaction, our provision, our comfort, our healing, our encouragement, and so many more good things. Our relationship with God can be fresh and new every day if we seek Him. Seeking and finding God is meant to be a daily pursuit. And I know of no better way to get to the heart of God than through the Psalms. From ancient times, those who wanted to get close to God not only read the Psalms, they committed them to memory and quoted them as part of their daily devotions. And there are some psalms that outshine others in their usefulness in getting us close to the heart of God. There is life in these psalms. Hidden in these psalms are verses so encouraging and comforting and enlightening. They are precious gems. I'll highlight many of those gems as we go along. Today, I'll start with Psalm 91. And it begins with a wonderful gem of truth and light. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You memorize and meditate on that single verse, and it will feed your soul. And it will always be in your heart and come to mind when you need it most. But I'll go on. It says, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, The Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now we go to Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. I like that phrase, those who look to Him are radiant. It reminds me of Exodus chapter 34. When Moses would spend days on the holy mountain in the presence of God, and when he came down, his face was shining with the radiance of the presence. Then it says, This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Well, that's a gem if I ever heard one. Many theologians believe that when you see that phrase, the angel of the Lord, rather than an angel or angels Michael or Gabriel, what it's referring to is more than a mere angel. It's a reference to the second person of the Trinity, to Jesus himself, appearing long before his incarnation. But whether it refers to Jesus himself or an angelic being, to know that God has placed his mighty representative to watch over us is very comforting. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Well, that's a verse to tuck away for a needful time. And it reminds me of 2 Kings chapter 6, the time an evil king sent his troops to arrest the prophet Elisha, and they surrounded the house where Elisha and his servant were staying. Well, the servant was terrified and cried out in fear. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's what that verse reminds me of. Those who are with us as believers are more in number and more in power than those who oppose us. A thought that's always good to remember. The next verse is another gem. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, the Apostle Peter echoes this thought in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good." But back to Psalm 34. "Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Notice several references to the fear of the Lord. Just what is that? Aren't we supposed to love the Lord with all our heart? And doesn't John tell us in 1 John 4:18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." That's what John wrote. So if fear is bad, how is it that it's good to fear God? And aren't we supposed to run from people we fear? Well, the fear of the Lord is not that kind of fear. It's a reverential fear and respect that you would fear to displease him. The example that I like to give to describe the fear of the Lord is this. Have you ever been to the edge of the Grand Canyon? I have. It's an awesome wonder. There is beauty and majesty. It is an awe-inspiring thing to stand at the edge and behold that vast expanse before you. Well, there's a fence there near the edge, and for good reason. But imagine this. You are with a friend who has no fear of the canyon, and he climbs the fence and says, "Come over here and we'll take a selfie." But you have a healthy fear and respect of the canyon, and you don't dare join him. That's like the fear of the Lord. The Grand Canyon is awesome and majestic and delightful, yes. But you respect that canyon, and you don't dare carelessly frolic on the edge of it. So also, we enjoy beholding our Heavenly Father by faith as his adopted children, but we don't dare disrespect or defy him. For, as the writer of Hebrews warns us, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, just like it's a fearful thing to fall into the canyon. But back to the psalm. It says, "Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." Oh, here's an amazing gem of a verse to always remember. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Close to the brokenhearted. What comfort there is in that. As the hymn says, "My Jesus can repay from his own fullness all he takes away." Then it says, "The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants, no one who takes refuge in him will be condemned." Then Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. There is a river that flows where the Most High dwells." That's not the only place we hear about this river. Revelation chapter 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him." Note that the river flows from the throne of God, where God's rule is established, and where God's Holy Spirit dwells, there is life. Ezekiel writes about this river also in Ezekiel chapter 47. "The angel showed him a river flowing from the temple of God." And verse 9 says, "Wherever the river flows, there is life." This same river of life flows through this very church sanctuary, and everywhere people gather in Jesus' name. Then back to Psalm 46. It says, "God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." Now we come to another gem. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." We get all anxious. We get perturbed by all the convulsions going on in the world, the wars, the political strife, the unfairness of life, our own family problems, and it does damage to our peace and sanity. But God says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." To use a colloquial expression, he's got this. So we can be still and rest in this truth. Then it says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Finally, Psalm 4. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn my glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know this, the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. That's a gem I want to highlight and end with. The Lord has set apart the godly for himself. He says, know this. Know that you are a treasured possession of the living God. He has chosen people. Out of the great mass of humanity, he has set aside people he loves that they will have a special relationship with him, just as God had a special relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden. So he desires that close daily fellowship with each of us. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go. Through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.